8:07 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Traffic at a standstill there at the Celeste exit. I guess 65 northbound and southbound because there's an accident both ways. All right, we'll give you details on that as the minutes move on. Probably within the next 7 minutes, another update from Kane in the traffic department. Also seeing this story this morning, possible road rage incident. Have you seen the video this morning that's been shared around on Facebook? I understand I'm a strong proponent of being innocent till proven guilty. But in the situation, one person has a baseball bat and the other one has pepper spray. And it looks like they're, from the picture, it looks like, or the video, it looks like they're at like Schillinger and Airport or on Schillinger northbound. I'm going to just say that's a road rage incident. I mean, one person's holding a bat and the other one's got pepper spray. I'm gonna move on out onto the limb a little bit further and say I will qualify that as a road rage incident. So we'll let the cards fall where they may and watch that story. We'll get more on that, I'm sure, coming up throughout the week. All right, 808 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Love to hear from you this morning. First up in national news, or probably you could say international news, President Trump defending that phone call to the Ukraine, while Democrats are calling it abuse of power, and they're saying it's an impeachable offense. Before leaving Houston yesterday, President Trump defended his phone call with the newly elected president of the Ukraine by dubbing it a 10 and absolutely perfect phone call. Jerry Boatlander from Westwood One with more on this.
As he headed to Houston for a big rally with India's prime minister, President Trump intimated that he discussed former Vice President Joe Biden and his son during a late July phone call with the new president of Ukraine.
Conversation I had was largely congratulatory, was largely corruption, all of the corruption taking place. It was largely the fact that we don't want our people, like Vice President Biden and his son, creating to the corruption already in the Ukraine.
There's been no evidence that Biden or his son, who sat on the board of a natural gas company in Ukraine, have done anything wrong. There were reports last week that Trump pressured the new president to launch an investigation of that gas company, and that phone conversation is the one that apparently prompted a whistleblower to file a complaint. Meanwhile, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff said on CNN State of the Union that impeachment may be the only option if the president, in fact, pressured Ukraine on Biden.
The president is pushing us down this road, and if in particular, after having sought foreign assistance and welcomed foreign assistance in the last presidential campaign as a candidate, he is now doing the same thing again, but now using the power of the presidency, then he may force us to go down this road. I have spoken with a number of my colleagues over the last week, and this seems different in kind, and we may very well have crossed the Rubicon here.
Schiff has been among Democrats who have resisted calling for impeachment. Meanwhile, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who has held the line against impeachment even though more than half of her caucus supports it, suggested her views may be changing. In a statement, she said national security is threatened by the administration's refusal to release the whistleblower's complaint that could involve, quote, a serious possible breach of constitutional duties by the president. She said that could lead to what she called a grave new chapter of lawlessness, which will, quote, take us into a whole new stage of investigation. Meanwhile, the president said he would look into releasing details of the call with the Ukrainian leader.
Problem is, when you're speaking to foreign leaders, you don't want foreign leaders to feel that they shouldn't be speaking openly.
The president and Ukrainian leader plan to meet on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly meeting this week. Also later this week, the acting director of national intelligence goes before the House Intelligence Committee. Jerry Boatlander, Washington.
All right. It's interesting that they're saying, well, this may be the thing that we're going to impeach on. It's kind of, if I had any artistic talent, I would draw a big fishing, maybe a big Resmondo, right? A big, big, beautiful fiberglass fishing boat out in the Gulf, dragging baits, and we call it like the SS impeachment. And you just put different issues, each bait, each lure on the outrigger, the way back lines, all that would be a different issue. And trolling, and maybe I would point out that there wouldn't be any hooks on any of the lures. Because I just wonder, just for political calculation here, if Democrats are better off not actually fully pushing impeachment and just talking about it going into the election cycle, right? Because if you go forward and nothing comes of it, do you lose the hook politically going into 2020 if you keep bringing up issue after issue that you think is impeachable and keep that going, but no one ever complete the run here at impeachment? Do you the people that are still undecided in this country that are not, the cement's not dry on their vote for president in 2020, do you do anything to shift them one way or the other? It's interesting. We'll see if they truly pursue this one further. I mean, you hear the language and the rhetoric across the Rubicon on this one. Maybe Nancy Pelosi now is interested in moving forward. We'll see. I think for political effect, the Democrats have a reason not to. They need to just be on the precipice of impeachment talks, but never fully go into it. The president, and so the story here, right? The president is talking to Volodymyr Zelensky. And he's talking to him, congratulating him on winning the presidency there in Ukraine. And he started talking about corruption, a topic that's included in the Ukrainian readout of the call. The president added to that the topic of corruption in Ukraine. It was largely in relation to the fact that, quote here from the president, "We don't want our people like Vice President Biden and his son creating to the corruption already in the Ukraine," end quote. President Trump then accused Biden of lying in Iowa on Saturday when the former vice president said he had never spoken to his son, Hunter Biden, about overseas business dealings. President Trump went on to say it was a warm and friendly conversation. He's talking about his conversation with the Ukrainian president. He said there was no quid pro quo. There was nothing. It was a perfect conversation, end quote. Democrats unanimous in their condemnation of the president over the weekend, of course. Party claimed the president brazenly ignored protocol and presidential norms in order to tear down a chief political rival. Now, they can say that, but is that impeachable? That's the question. Whether you like it, you think it's becoming of the office, is it impeachable, is the question. Now, President Trump, of course, joining leaders from around the world as they converge on New York City this week for the UN General Assembly. And we'll see what happens at the UN General Assembly, how we react to the Iranian delegation there. It should be interesting. All right, 8:15, we'll take some phone calls when we come back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Mobile County Commission meeting today. They're raising the budget for the new fiscal year. Members of the Mobile County Commission are going to discuss this year's budget. I think it's meetings at 10 o'clock this morning at Government Plaza. And the budget includes a 7.5% cost of living raise for employees of Mobile County. County officials also saying it includes funding allocation for Ladd People's Stadium and, wait for it, you forgot about this, the new Mobile Soccer Complex. Fiscal year 2020 budget is $153,122,759. Why not go to 760? Why not round up? Official says it's a 1.05% increase from last year. So they'll be meeting on that coming up today as well. All right, coming back, phone calls next. 343-0106. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. And yeah, people were asking, yeah, Dalton is under the weather this morning. So it's just you and I. We'll hang out. All right. Need to watch what? Oh, from last night? Okay. All right. We all watch it together. 8:22 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Hey, y'all. Sean Sullivan. Glad to have you along. Before we get back into this, somebody said you were talking about the Emmys last night. You left out the Kardashians. Oh, listen, I'll leave out the Kardashians anytime possible. The thing that got my attention, because you only really like, I can only offer an opinion on shows I've seen, which are very few, right? But a big Game of Thrones fan, which won a total of 12 Emmys, tying their own record for 2015 when they won 12 Emmys. By the way, the show ended its run with 59 Emmys in all. And that show with Julie Louis-Dreyfus, Veep, that didn't win, but I thought that was a pretty funny show. Other than that, I have not seen the Fleabag show, but I think it is interesting. How about that? Amazon stepping up. This is Amazon TV. So Amazon Prime, you know, if you have Prime, you get the Amazon TV. The series Fleabag won Best Comedy, and the star/creator Phoebe Waller-Bridge won Best Actress in a Comedy, and also won for Best, I think, Best Show as well. So maybe I'll watch that. The Mrs. has the Prime, and I have her code, so I can get into the Amazon Prime. That said, yeah, Veep, This Is Us, Big Bang Theory, Better Call Saul, and House of Cards were all shut out in this year's Emmys. But somebody said, oh, I needed to watch what was going on with the Kardashian, because they had Kim Kardashian and Kendall Jenner come out to present, one of the Emmys, I guess, for real TV or real stories or something like that. So I'm just going to air this. I can air this, right? Nobody's, like, there's no cursing or anything like that. It's okay. All right, let's go. Just pick it up where it goes. Okay.
Our family knows firsthand how truly compelling television comes from real people just being themselves.
Telling their stories unfiltered and unscripted.
Here are the nominees for Outstanding Competition Series.
Okay, I get it. So it's the Kardashians, Kendall Jenner, going up and talking about unscripted. You're really seeing their regular life on the... Which I don't think I've ever seen more than like 2 minutes of whatever it is, Keeping Up with the Kardashians or whatever the show is. But I get the idea, right? It's one of the scripted reality shows. So there you go. So they were a presenter. It sounds like they got laughed off stage last night at the Emmys. All right, 8:24. I want to circle around on a couple things here. Number one, the president. What do you think? Do you think that they're... about my theory? My theory is that Democrats are never going to fully move forward with impeachment, because it's better to hold it out there as something that they're working on, busily working on, and bringing up questions going into the 2020 cycle? Or do you think they move forward on this with the president speaking to the Ukrainian president? And the question is, are these impeachable offenses? And we might need a scholar to look into this more deeply, but I don't think you can dislike it, but is it impeachable for Democrats to say now we have something to move forward with with impeachment on? I don't know exactly is that an impeachable offense? By the way, too, still getting pictures and updates here from 65 at the Celeste Road exit. Southbound and northbound been accidents. Dan saying the southbound accident way worse. And they still don't have that cleared. As soon as we get that cleared, we're going to let you know. But people say it's been like a parking lot out there this morning. So that is 65 at Celeste Road. There was an accident southbound and northbound. I'm seeing that 65 southbound seems to be the bigger, at least what I'm getting right now, the bigger traffic issue out there. Also, somebody saying 7.5%. Yeah, that's the 7.5% raise for Mobile County employees. The budget as a whole for Mobile County, they're proposing 1.05% increase from last year. Also, update here on what we talked about last year. All this towing discussion, and we had a pretty in-depth discussion about this with Jason Johnson last week from Landyap. But this story from Christopher Harris over at AL.com said the Mobile Police Department arrested the owners of SOS Towing Tuesday after executing a seizure warrant at their business located in West Mobile. All right, we reported that last week. Gary Labar Smith Sr., Gary Labar Smith Jr. face 8 counts of first-degree insurance fraud and 2 counts of second-degree insurance fraud, according to MPD. The update: Assistant District Attorney Clay Rossi confirmed to AL.com the DA's office was formally investigating the case against SOS Towing. And it says the arrest came just a week after a 60-day ban prohibiting SOS Towing and 4 other companies was lifted. While representatives from the 5 towing companies believe that marked the end to the investigation, MPD told AL.com that September 11th, its investigators would be continuing with the probe. It's not clear yet if further arrests will be made in this case. MPD's criminal investigation was initially opened after officers received information that towing companies were allegedly price gouging customers, sending inflated invoices to insurance companies. Somebody had asked about this when I was talking to Jason Johnson. Looks like y'all are spot on, because it says insurance fraud here maybe is what they're moving forward with. Revealed in early August that MPD had broken city rules itself on towing, having consistently overcharged citizens since late 2015, according to documents obtained by AL.com. MPD admitted to the breaches and changed its internal policies with immediate effect. Insurance fraud, here's what they write, Christopher writes, insurance fraud in the first degree is an act prohibited by Alabama state statute, and he gives the statute, said in cases where loss or potential loss exceeds $1,000, in cases where loss or potential loss does not exceed $1,000, it constitutes insurance fraud in the second degree. So I wonder if they're going to go through this and look at everybody who had a tow during this time by any of these companies and then total that up in dollars of insurance fraud to try to move forward with these cases. It's going to be interesting. If you were ignorant to it, I know, ignorance of law is no excuse, but if you can prove that you were ignorant, if you were doing these bills, I mean, the Mobile Police Department was doing it incorrectly. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting if you didn't know the billing procedure, you didn't know the rates, and I don't know that they did or did not. I mean, there's some argument to be made there. But if you didn't, and you end up getting brought up on insurance fraud, I mean, what's your culpability in that? All right, and then one more story I'd like to hear from you on as well. You saw what happened over the weekend? Maybe you didn't. We're deploying military forces to Saudi Arabia. Is this the, you know, I've talked about what do you do over there? How do you deal with Iran without moving the United States into being a on-site player in this? I don't know if we can say that anymore. A story from NBC News said the United States deploying military forces to the Middle East after the drone attacks on major oil sites in Saudi Arabia. The president has approved the deployment of U.S. forces, which will be defensive in nature and primarily focused on air and missile defense. U.S. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper said in a news conference Friday, answering reporters' questions about the deployment, said General Joseph Dunford Jr., chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, described the troop deployment as modest and not thousands. Dunford said he planned to confer with U.S. Central Command and Saudi officials to work out details of deployment, which he said would be announced this week. Esper said the troops would primarily be focused in the air and missile defenses. Now, my question there is, if we're going to have air and missile defenses of those Saudi oil facilities, and that's where the Iranians would strike, wouldn't that put U.S. troops in harm's way? Defense Secretary said troop deployment to those nations is happening as Iran is engaged in, quote, significant escalation of violence, end quote, in the region. Mike Pompeo said that while Yemen's Iranian-backed Houthi rebels claimed responsibility for the Saudi oil site attack, the fingerprints of Tehran's Ayatollah were evident in the drone strikes. And now, let's add to this that U.S. troops are going into the region. All right, not thousands, says Dunford, but maybe you guess hundreds in that. Coming right back. Hey, thank you, Kane. It's been a tough morning traffic-wise, 65 north and southbound there in the Saraland area. That's Celeste Road. Man, this seems like that zone in there. We get something maybe with the... I'm just guessing. There'll be some engineer out there that can correct me. I wonder if it's the bend as you're heading northbound or the bend coming in if you're heading southbound into Celeste Road exit. I'm not sure, but it seems to get on the traffic report quite a bit. All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5, phone number 343-0106. You want to chime in? We'll hear from you at 343-0106. Also want y'all to say hello to Mitch McConnell at McConnell Automotive. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, and I love to talk trucks. And, man, you got a deal on trucks right now at McConnell.
Man, we really do, and I tell you, people out there driving some great trucks like the Ford and the Ram and the Toyota, and I think, Sean, all I want to do is invite people to come test drive the Sierra before they buy anything. You know, it's just an amazing truck, and one of the things that people have seen, Sean, is that six-function tailgate. No other truck in the world has got it, and what's amazing is, you know, 15% off the sticker price is about the best discount we've seen since it came out, Sean. And right now, I've got 20% off.
Wow.
So if people do the math, man, it's some huge discounts, over $10,000 off a brand new Z71 and really shown now it's called an X31. We have another version called an AT4. So about the coolest looking truck in the world. So anybody listening that's waiting on a deal for a truck, now is perfect time, and it's only going to last, these deals shown, till the end of this month. So we hope people hurry up and they can check the deals out, buddy, at McConnellAutomotive.com, or come see us. But we've got an amazing selection right now, just about every color that GM makes, we've got it.
Thank you, Mitch, for the update.
All right, Sean, y'all have a great Monday.
Will do. Mitch McConnell checking in from McConnell Automotive, just east of 65 on Dolphin Street. At 8:38, and let me do this. Let me clear this. Let me clear the air on this. So there's some theories coming in to Dalton's absence this morning. Okay, some theories coming in, ranging from him not wanting to come in and talk about the college pick'em from over the weekend. He did pretty good. He did pretty good. I mean, I move way up. Believe me, I'm as amazed as anybody else that I'm holding on this long in college pick'em. It won't be long. I'll be down to the bottom of the stack. But right now, I'm holding my own. Dalton didn't do bad, but people are theorizing that maybe Dalton didn't want to come in to recognize some of the people that are at the top of the stack. I don't know. Some people's theorizing that old age must be catching up with Dalton. Oh, God forbid, if his new age is old age, then I am way over the hill. Of course, Dalton had a birthday on Thursday, and people wondering if maybe a little too much birthday fun led to his... I don't think so. I think he's really... I do not think it's cocktail flu, because the birthday was Friday, and this is Monday. So, he was in here Saturday, so he made it Saturday. And then Suzanne says, hey, did you make Dalton sick? No, Suzanne, I did not make Dalton sick. When I got sick was like 10 days ago, okay? And she says he used antibacterial all the week you were sick. Poor fellow. Okay, here's the thing. You are right, Suzanne. He comes in smelling like he goes through this big jug thing we have of antibacterial stuff. Like if he walks by a door and somebody coughs, he's going to get it up, get slathered in the antibacterial gel. And then I saw this story, which I will bring to light when he gets back. Study finds. Study out there says when you apply hand sanitizer, okay, if you use this throughout the day to make yourself feel better about it, you're not going to get sick. Study found that when you apply hand sanitizer, you have to rub your hands together for 4 minutes. 4 minutes to get it completely to kill all the flu germs. I mean, you basically look like a bad guy in a bad movie, right? With constantly rubbing your hands together. 4 minutes. So... By the way, study also finds that if you wash your hands with antibacterial soap, it kills all the flu germs in just 30 seconds. Now, I know it's not as fun as hitting the old dispenser of the antibacterial gel, but it says the gel, for some reason, I don't know the reasoning behind all this, but you have to rub your hands together for 4 minutes to get it to completely kill all the flu germs, or if you just hit up the antibacterial soap in the bathroom, it's 30 seconds. Just want to point out. So if you've have you been using the gel properly? Have you been, tell me, there's going to be somebody on the text line. Of course I do, Sean. Every time. 4 minutes. I sit there and rub my hands together for 4 minutes every time. But if you're not, then you're not accomplishing the goal. You can just go to the bathroom and use the, if you have antibacterial soap available. You know what they need to do? Is they need to put, I like that Baraxo stuff, like when working on equipment, you know, you get the, yeah, there's a bunch of different makes, but Baraxo, one of them, Agent Orange or whatever, Orange, Fast Orange, whatever. It's not Agent Orange, I would imagine. Fast Orange, something like that we use to get, you know, the grease and oil out of your hands when you're working on equipment. If they would incorporate antibacterial in that so you did both, you got like the 50 grit sandpaper feeling of that other soap, but also had antibacterial in there, there's a win. There's entrepreneurs get rolling on that one. All right, Grant coming to Mobile's downtown airport. Story up this morning from Dale Leash over at Lanyap said Mobile downtown airport, which we got to fly out of this year, flew out to Denver and back, the family. We did a little out and back to Colorado. It was a lot of fun. Used a Frontier out of the Mobile downtown airport. And now it's the news is Mobile downtown airport getting more than $1 million to repair areas where the airplanes are parked, boarded, and refueled. Space that dates all the way back to when Brooklyn was first used as an Air Force base. U.S. Representative Bradley Byrne announced the $1,080,000 U.S. Department of Transportation grant in a statement release. He said, I'm thrilled to announce the grant of over $1 million to the Mobile downtown airport as Southwest Alabama continues to grow. The downtown airport will become increasingly important. Okay. In other words, they're moving. I mean, things eventually will move to the downtown airport. Mobile Airport Authority President Chris Curry said the grant begins organizations' commitment to repairing and replacing much of the aging apron, runway, and taxiways. He said that's all part of the plan to improve infrastructure. End quote. Grant will provide funding for the design of the apron this year, with construction beginning next year per FAA rule. He said you design 1 year and the construction the next, according to Curry. In other news, Frontier is pulling its seasonal direct flight from Mobile to Chicago beginning November 13th. So if you wanted to make that run, you got to do it now before November 13th. That move has been expected for some time now. Curry said he believes the airline, which is the only one currently operating at the downtown airport, should bring that flight back in April when weather in the Windy City is more temperate. So I mean, it makes sense if they're not going to fill the plane up between, although I would suggest they could do it during the holidays. But since November 13th, Frontier's pulling that direct flight to Chicago, and then it's back on in April. Which is interesting. You pull the you pull the flight to Chicago because of weather, but you leave the Denver flight up, which I think is good. I'm happy. I'm happy they do, but it's just... Curry said Chicago flights typically leave the downtown airport at 80% of capacity, while flights to Denver took off at 90% full on average. Those load factor numbers are both good, especially considering the A320 aircraft Frontier uses holds 186 passengers. So we're hopeful they bring back the Chicago flight and an additional destination. I think it's a good possibility. Seasonal flights for Frontier, nothing new. So there you go. I guess it'll just be Denver after November 13th. But we flew out. When we flew out, that plane was full. They're talking about 90% capacity. It was 100% going out and coming back when we went out to Denver in July. All right, coming back, I got some texts coming in. We'll get your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Is somebody saying I-65 north of 158, the lanes decrease from 3 to 2 and speed increases from 60 to 75. Good point, Bob, that maybe that's the cause of that area having... At least, and Bob, this is completely anecdotal. I mean, we can look at some stats. I'm sure Aaliyah has stats on, you know, they always roll out the most dangerous intersections in the state. I wonder if they have some stats. And maybe, Philip, you can look in there. Does Aaliyah have any published stats on most dangerous sections of I-65 in Alabama? But, Bob, yeah, it's anecdotal. I just, doing this all the time, we hear of some bad accidents in that stretch. And you make a good point that you have a change there in lanes. You also have a change there in speed. But this is a good question. There's a question I have no answer to from the text line. Thank you. I have no answer. This texter says, I knew someone in college. Dalton, if you're listening this morning on your deathbed in there, he said, I knew somebody in college who would hit the antibacterial gel 50 times, rub it all over his hands, and then have someone set it on fire. Will that kill all the bacteria? It's a solid medical question, unnamed texter. I don't have an answer for. Flaming hands. Imagine it would help some, but I wouldn't recommend it. Sounds like some people I went to college with too, so I'm not surprised or shocked. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Hey, y'all. Sean Sullivan, glad you're along. Mike Gallagher show coming up in just a little bit, and then I'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Hey, and this week, kind of a funky schedule. Be here tomorrow for Mobile Mornings. Got a special lineup for you coming tomorrow afternoon, and then Wednesday and Thursday, the show live from Washington. We'll be at the fair. Not that kind of fair. It's an acronym, and it's a group focused on immigration policy in the United States. And they have radio shows from, I think, all 50 states they invite to come up. And so we're going to take the show on the road. We'll be at the right there near the Capitol. We're going to be at the Phoenix Hotel near the Capitol and be talking to a whole bunch of people from up on Capitol Hill. Of course, we'll get our delegation, get Alabamians talking about it. Also, some high-profile people from Washington, some names you'll know, are going to be joining us on Midday Mobile Wednesday and Thursday as we do the show live from Washington. And it'll be fun. I'll be checking in as well during Mobile Mornings in the 8 o'clock hour both of those days. So we'll, and you know, I thought about this too. We'll be talking to Jeff Poor. Jeff Poor is going to be up there as well with his national reporting with Breitbart. And so he's going to be there, and he'll probably join us for the Wednesday edition of the 8 o'clock hour. But it'll be live from Washington. It's going to be interesting. Make sure to tune in. And if you miss it, remember, if you missed that, like say I had, you know, a congressman on or somebody with Border Patrol, somebody you wanted to go back and hear or share that interview, our podcasts are posted pretty soon after the hours are finished. I mean, there is a process of the posting and the, it depends on the speed of the internet that day, how quickly they load, but they get loaded in the following hour, and then you can go back and check them out by going to fmtalk1065.com and clicking the podcast tab. Or better yet, the way to take that step out for yourself, just download it. If you're on Apple, you can use iTunes. If you're on an Android, Stitcher, like someone who stitches, like a physician would be, if you cut yourself, would be a Stitcher. So Stitcher is the app I use on my Android phone, but iTunes or Stitcher. Also Spotify, if you do the Spotify thing for music, our podcasts are on there as well. And the TuneIn Radio app. Now, that's the app that lets you take our radio station with you on your phone anywhere you get a signal there, right? You can listen to us, you can stream us. If you get a call, it pauses the audio. When you finish a call, you can pick it back up right where you left it off. It also has not only the streaming of our station there, TuneIn Radio, which, by the way, is a free app. Download it for Apple or Android, iPhone or Android. You can do that, but TuneIn Radio, the name of the app, but also our podcast there as well. All right. Some people asking on the text line talking about the deadliest section of 65. To be frank with you, I could not find which section of 65 is the, or let's just say the most dangerous versus deadliest. And I couldn't, believe me, lots of stuff comes up when you Google it, but very little of it is anything but a redirect to look at that. But I think about 65, this is completely anecdotal. When I say that area there around Celeste Road seems to be an issue, but this is just from doing it years and years and years of listening to traffic reports. And like the suggestion earlier from the text line from Bob, you know, the 65, once you get north of, I guess once you get north of 158, starting there, of course, you go, you come down to two lanes and you increase speed. That, Bob, that definitely may be an issue leading to that. Also, speaking of 65, deadly accident over the weekend, as now ALEA, Alabama Law Enforcement Association, has identified the wrong-way driver in that fatal crash on 65 in Baldwin County. Now, this was a wrong-way driver thing. Have you ever seen that before? Not a news account. Have you been on the road before and had somebody come by you at whatever rate of speed? I'm thinking, of course, in this situation, a high rate of speed going the wrong way. Have you been witness to that before? It's enough. I remember the last time this happened. It's enough to, like, still gives me, it makes my stomach drop to even think about it. If you've been in that situation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When it happens so quickly that you go, that just happened. That still remembered it. That's my reaction. That kind of, that just happened. I mean, it was that fast. By the way, the story here, ALEA naming names here in that deadly crash. Alabama Law Enforcement Agency investigating two deadly crashes in Baldwin County that left five dead. Story from WKRG says the crashes happened just 30 minutes apart Saturday night. First crash happened before 5 p.m. at Alabama 225 near Cottage Hill Road. And then, according to Alabama State Troopers, the accident we've been talking about is 5:30 on Saturday evening, 65 southbound, just north of the Rabin exit. According to ALEA, a man was driving north in the southbound lanes when his van hit an SUV head-on. ALEA identified the wrong-way driver as 56-year-old Brent King, a Fairhope resident. King and all three people in the SUV were pronounced dead on the scene. It's not known why King was driving the wrong way, nor how far he drove the wrong direction. Nearly 7 miles of the southbound lanes of the interstate were shut down for 4.5 hours while crews worked that scene. But have you seen that before? I've had on 65, so 65, I had a car wreck we were heading southbound. I had a car wreck, and this is not far north. This is somewhere between Atmore and Rabun. Had a car lose control northbound and come across the median and flip over the front of basically maybe 10 yards, 15 yards in front of our vehicle as we were heading southbound, and then go into the ditch on the other side. Had that happen coming back from the Smokies one time, and have been on 65 southbound coming back from Montgomery, and had a vehicle do exactly what was laid out in the story, come by me going northbound. It's a gut-dropping experience if you ever have it happen. How people get on there, I don't know. I mean, you've heard all these stories over the years. How people don't realize they're in the wrong lanes. And yes, there's a whole bunch of these people that are impaired. I don't know about this story, but there's a whole bunch of these stories where people are on drugs or alcohol. But then there's these stories, you've heard them before, where people, they're not on anything. They just didn't know they were going the wrong direction on the interstate. How that happens is still beyond me, for sure. All right, Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. We'll join up again at noon today for Midday Mobile. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. You can check out show schedules, podcasts like we talked about, online opinion poll questions, show bios, all that good info. I think with 45 hours a week of live local programming, lots to study over there on the website, so do it. fmtalk1065.com. All right, Gallagher next. Y'all have a good one.